Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. And we encourage you to take a listen to those programs and see what you can find. This is a time in which we are going to take a look at that, just that, time, timing. We're going to take a look, of course, also at the book by a guest who's been on the program before, the author of It's All in Time, and Jagdish Maheshwari, my guest in studio. You're visiting us here in Santa Barbara, and it's a pleasure not only to have you in our humble town, but here in our studios as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Richard.
You know, when we first conversed, and it seems like, as a matter of fact, I think I may even have the actual date on which we got together. It was actually September 25th. Of 2010. So it's been quite a while since the last time we talked. But one of the things that fascinates me about the work that you do, and I'm sort of letting our listeners who have not heard that interview know that you are a Vedic astrologer, which is based more on mathematics than anything else.
Yes.
It's a science. That's correct?
Yes, it is a science. And it involves a lot of steps, mm-hmm. Scientific steps, based on mathematics and the logic that leads to the analyze of a given chart.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're also a researcher.
Yes.
Now, you're working on, or you have completed in 2011, the early part, a journal, or actually a set of journals, is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, it's a research journal for National Council for Geocosmic Research. It's an organization, it's a national organization of astrologers. They have about 6,000 members. And we have a research journal once a year, and a regular journal, they call it Geocosmic Journal. Mm-hmm. And I'm the research director of the research journal and the editor also.
Now, I'm curious, you say geocosmic.
Right.
Define that for me.
This is the kind of a catchy word. It basically deals with the metaphysical areas, where, you know, people are interested, people want to know more about it and what those areas are. And astrology is one of them. The main thrust is astrology, but they also deal with other areas which are paranormal.
Okay.
Metaphysical.
And I think that for some listening, and even my mind kind of goes there, in spite of all of the scientific evidence that is now coming out that is beginning to prove and support metaphysics, by definition, is beyond the physical. We can't touch it. We can't see it, taste it, smell it, hear it. But we say that we know that it's there.
Correct.
Now, some could say, well, air is metaphysical because it's beyond the physical. Gases of various types, same thing. But I don't think that's the area we're talking about, is it?
No.
How have you and the geocosmic group been able to bridge the gap between the physical, the mathematics, if you will, the science, and the metaphysical?
Well, as far as astrology goes, astrology has been around, a few thousand years, but in, I would say, about 500 or 600 years five or 600 years ago, people have started taking interest with the influence of planetary positions on the mundane things that we do on the Earth, as well as, you know, the people born on certain time, certain places. And they were wondering about their correlations. And could that be a science? That's how they started it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Western astrology specifically flourished with that, with that scientific approach for astrology. And so here we are in 21st century. treating astrology almost as a science. I'm using the word almost because the mainstream scientific community, they still have difficulty in dealing with areas where it's extremely difficult to show the proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the current research is based on inference. Basically, you look at the past data, try to correlate with the planetary position, with the events that happened in the past, and come up with some theory, some hypothesis, mm-hmm. and then you test it for the future events.
Does this kind of go along the lines of what you and I had been conversing over lunch the other day about going back into history, creating a chart for a particular event, because that's really how it's done, that every event has its own chart, whether it's the election of a president, the founding of a country, the starting of a business, the beginning of a marriage, let alone the birth of an individual.
Cool.
And you focus on the place, the time, and the date. Those three elements. And it's based upon the position of the stars then, not now, that you create this chart over. So is that kind of what you're doing as far as the research that you were just describing in terms of better merging the science with the metaphysical by saying, okay, we're going to take this event in history, yeah. and we're going to make a chart. And then we're going to come forward in time, and we're going to make a chart that goes from that point forward, and we're going to take a look at what transpired over that period of time and see how it matches up with the chart, how the exactly. history matches up with the chart.
Exactly. Just to give an example, for this, in one of the articles which was written by me for this journal is the influence of Pluto, Uranus, and Neptune. These are the modern planets.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of the journal is the modern planets. And so these are the modern planets' influence on the world events. And this particular article deals with wars, terrorism, violence, revolutions, uprising, and how well or how well not these events correlate with these planetary positions of these modern planets, mm-hmm. Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did in that particular research area, I looked at the last, since 1900, the major events around the globe with respect to, the violence, war, revolutions, uprising, mm-hmm. et cetera. And wondered if there is some correlation exists
right.
between these planets and these events. And so I looked at about 102 events and then came up with, very interesting, they came up with the planetary angles between these modern planets. In addition to that, I had to consider Saturn because Saturn is on the border of the modern planets and the planets that we know,
mm-hmm.
As we call the outer planets. And so these four planets, and they make certain angles,
mm-hmm.
and those angles manifest in terms of the events that deal with war,
mm-hmm.
Uprising, revolutions, where there is a drastic change, human casualty, and that sort of
right.
stuff. And so it's interesting, and it's, and so I have the plots and data there, which relates, and based on that, then you predict the future. What are the possible, there's potential of having similar events in future.
Mm-hmm.
And so there, this is what the research we deal with in terms of the research,
mm-hmm.
So to speak.
And it's interesting because if you go back in time and do this kind of research with an event back then. For example, if you were able to determine the exact day, time, and place of the planet Earth,
right?
Okay, if it were possible to define that, then you could potentially create a chart for the planet. But because we really don't have a precise moment in time when that happened, now I'm curious as to how this all changes when they classify the celestial bodies in terms of Pluto.
Right, right, right.
One day it was a planet, the next day it's not. No, but most people, my thought is, it's still
it's
out there.
It's a body out there. It's still out there.
It doesn't matter whether we classify it as.
At one point it was declassified, and then, you know, as a non-planet.
Right.
But now they restored its position.
They restored its planethood. Okay.
Yeah, right.
But it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter, absolutely.
Because it's a physical body
still out
there. Yeah.
And still influencing the way other bodies influence us.
First of all, where are you from originally?
I was born in India.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to this country about when I was 24.
Okay.
And came for education. And I'm a chemical engineer. I have a PhD in chemical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I have interest in astrology. So
right.
it ran parallel to both, you know. So I have been doing astrology as well as chemical engineering, so to speak, all these years. And now I'm a full-time astrologer for the last 6-7 years. Devoting my full time in astrological research as well as private consulting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what is it and or was it that intrigued you so 7 or more years ago as far as Vedic astrology as opposed to, you know, the Western astrology as we know it?
Good question. I had dwelt with Vedic Western astrology in the 80s for about 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the person coming from scientific discipline and skeptical, I have to be open-minded to look at the Western astrology. What is it? Chinese astrology, Arabian astrology, Vedic astrology. And so given a chart, I will apply all these different astrology. And just wondered, okay, what does this mean? And does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you one thing, you're applying Western astrology when it comes to the personal characteristics and certain behavior pattern of human beings, Western astrology seems to work very well.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to predicting something out in the future, it's the Eastern astrology has an edge. You know? So what I did is basically my approach is combine the best part of all different astrologies
mm-hmm.
and come up with a platform, so to speak, come up with a set of rules. Most of them, 80% of them, are still heavily based on Vedic astrology. But I have used the good part of other, you know, the astrologies, Western, mm-hmm. Chinese, and so on, and use them in the analysis of a chart and then interpreting a chart.
And that's that's how your book, It's All in Timing, came about.
Exactly.
So this is a compilation, if you will.
Compilation. And I, in addition to that, accidentally, I stumbled on a unique approach. I call unique theory, whatever you want to call it, unique approach that I can apply to improve my prediction significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a ninefold approach. In other words, I'm looking at, it's just like looking a thing under a microscope. So when I apply the ninefold chart, basically I'm looking at my natal chart under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows me to confirm certain things that I predict or that I infer from the natal chart to confirm or not. And that works so well. And I was so excited about it, I wanted to share that, so to speak, discovery with the world. And that's the reason I wrote the book.
And I would take it that by looking at your history through your chart, the path that you have taken to this point in your life is no surprise.
Well, thank you.
No, that's the question.
Yeah. Well, it's no surprise.
I mean, can you see in your chart
that okay, good question.
The path that you have trodden in this lifetime up to this point is right there in the chart?
It's right there in the chart. Well, when it comes to looking at my own chart, it's a likelihood that I'm going to get biased and I may not be able to do a fairly good job in terms of analyzing a chart because it's my own chart. Sure. It's a circular reference. And so in that sense, but I tried to, now over, I have been doing astrology for over 40 years. Now I have come to a point that it really doesn't matter. I can still do, I'm a lot better at looking at my own chart than I 10 years ago. And and so I can look at as a chart, as a third person chart, and analyze it. And yes, I do have the trends that curiosity is my one of the strengths or weakness, whatever you want to call it, but that keeps me propelled in the direction of looking at almost anything, everything around us.
Yeah.
And astrology is somehow seems to, it's like anything that I look at and immediately I think of the planets and see, does that make sense? And so astrology is one of the things that I always adhere to in terms of explaining the things around me.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jagdish Maharishi. And we're talking about Vedic astrology, but we're talking about a lot of other things. We had an incredible conversation. I wish we had recorded that at lunch the other day because we talked about so many incredible things, especially the issue of how we're all different. So every human being's chart, there are over 7 billion people on the planet, so there are 7 billion different charts.
Unique charts.
No two charts are exactly the same.
Exactly.
And I'm curious as to where you see personal choice and free will in a chart. It sounds to me an awful lot like all we can really do is look at the chart, past, present, and future, and just say, okay, well, that's where I was, and this is where I am, and that's where I'll be. And it seems as though we will just subconsciously or unconsciously fulfill the chart. And so there doesn't seem to me a lot of choice there. It's like there's a certain level of predestination. You know what I'm – do you see where I'm going with that?
I do see that.
I mean, if it's mathematics, if it's a science.
Yes, it is a mathematics, but it's mathematics of predicting the potential of certain things happening.
Okay.
It's a potential. It's still – you have choices, and depending upon choices you make, the outcome is going to be different. It just allows you to say, okay, you have a potential of becoming, a great person in the medical field. But you also have a potential of becoming, you know, maybe in a political area you can shine. Now, which way you're going to go, it will depend upon what choices you make, what environment you're going to, you know, live in, and you know, and because you're going to have more than one choice all given time. Now, the astrology, what does point out it very clearly, that statistically, what is the possibility of you going in one direction as opposed to other? And now, there is no reason why you shouldn't choose the one which is difficult one. Mm-hmm. And you can still make out in that direction. Absolutely. I'm all for that. But more time than often, you will find that the natural inclinations that your chart shows with the direction that you're going to take, eventually you're going to go in that direction, regardless of choices you're going to make.
Right.
And that's fine. You can go in other directions and learn more about it before you come back to your natural the direction, so to speak.
So all right. So we can make the choices and go off in on a tangent, as it were. But somewhere down that tangent, there's going to become an opportunity for us once again to get back on path. Is that – because my understanding of the chart, it's not predicting what you will do and what you will be and where you will go.
Yeah.
It's laying out the conditions. You say the possibilities.
Potential.
Potential. Exactly. I look at it as a roadmap that doesn't tell you – what's going to happen as much as, okay, during this 50 miles of the roadway, you're going to experience rain.
Right.
The next 50 is going to be sunshine. The next 50 will be tornadoes. The next will be night.
Yeah.
The next will be day, and so on and so forth. And it's what you choose to do under those conditions that
That's your choice.
That's where your choices come in.
Yeah, your choice is coming in. There are very few charts which shows cast in concrete type mm-hmm. of things. But most of the charts shows the potential mm-hmm. and more than one thing that your life can lead to. And so those are the possibilities. And so I always restrict myself the temptation of narrowing down the field in which a person is going to
go left rather than right.
Go right.
You don't
so I
do
give
that.
Because I do not want to deprive that person the opportunity mm-hmm. of choosing right. the one that he wants to choose. But I can give some starting point. Okay, mm-hmm. these are the possibilities.
Right.
You know, these are 10 different possibilities you can shine on. And it so happens that he happens to choose one of them, and he excels
right.
in that direction.
And some would then actually offer up criticism over the process, whether it be Eastern or Western astrology,
right.
because they're saying, well, yeah, of course it's going to fit my life because it's so vague.
Right.
And the reality is that it is not intended as a predictor of your future. Or an overlay of your past in terms of what exactly happened
right.
in your life.
Yeah.
You know, you broke your arm as a 5-year-old falling out of the tree.
Right.
Something like that would show up more along the lines of you would say, if you choose to climb the tree, you may experience some challenges along the way, okay? That might be the way you would phrase it. You would say you're going to fall out of the tree and break your arm because you don't know. You could jump from one limb to another and get snagged and then hang by your foot and all the blood rushes to your head and so on and so on. I mean, just a number of different things.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to make one thing clear that it's not as vague as throwing a dart on the dartboard. Absolutely. It does give you a lot clearer picture than you would imagine. It's just that you still have that picture has choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be the final picture, but it does give you those possibilities that help allow persons as a guidance,
mm-hmm.
not as something, you know, that he should meditate and just go in that direction because he's told to do that.
Right.
No, no.
Right.
It's just as a guidance using, it's free will and choices that the person makes. But what person finds it, that guidance is so useful. And one other thing I must point out, that most of the work I do really involves with predicting a good time as opposed to not so good time. And once you know that this is good time and not good time, you tend to take more risk and you're reward to risk ratio is a lot better as opposed to the not so good time where you kind of lay low, not take a lot of risk, and do the things you always wanted to do, kind of taking time off and enjoy.
From your perspective, is the result the same for one who has a chart, who has been given the information, if you will, and the guidance?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to someone who isn't even aware of their chart?
Depends on the person you're talking here. So the person who is not aware of a chart, and if the chart is great, he doesn't need astrological guidance. He pretty much, he's got it made.
Mm-hmm.
Now the one that who has, let's just say we have an average chart, the two average people, and one is having the guidance, and the other one is nothing,
mm-hmm.
No guidance, the one who has guidance is likely to excel a lot better than the one who doesn't have it because he has more additional information in
right.
front of him,
yeah.
assuming that he's open-minded in the sense that mm-hmm. he doesn't get obsessed with it.
Yeah.
That's the key word, obsessed. And that's I always suggest people that this is a guidance. This is not cast in concrete. Don't get obsessed with it. This is just, but it will help if you let, if you just use it as a guidance, follow it, but not suffocate with it.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel that your background, your heritage, your place of birth has anything to do, your ethnicity has anything to do with your being interested in following and teaching? And sharing this science?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So it doesn't have anything to do with that?
I was exposed to astrology in the early part of my life. But I don't see why I couldn't be exposed to astrology if I were born in, say, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same difference. This really shouldn't be. I think you just, once you're curious, you can be curious everywhere.
And you ever feel like you have an in that respect? Because the science does come from India, comes from that part of the world.
Well, but I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't see. To me, you're born on the earth. It really doesn't matter where you're born.
Yeah.
Really. You know, it's just that you have based on the astrology, if you have influence of certain planets, it really doesn't matter where you're born, because at the time of the birth, those planets were influencing on you.
Jagdish Maheshwari is my guest. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. I'm Richard Dugan, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. Welcome back. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. This is Tell Me Your Story. And, of course, you can find all that you need at the website, richarddugan.com. Both the archives and the schedule of guests that are upcoming, as well as a link to listen live every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time here on this program. We bring you people who are trying to provide information to guide you through your life if you choose to take a look at it. And we ask you to at least listen with as much of an open mind as you can, and take what you need and leave the rest. We're not sitting here saying this is the end-all and be-all of this particular area of expertise for this person. It's just another point on the circle. And so we're trying to introduce you to those different aspects of the metaphysical world, of the spiritual world, for that matter. I mean, if you go back and take a look at our schedule of guests, we've talked about death and dying, and we've talked about, of course, astrology, both Western and Eastern, and we've talked about the healing arts. We have programs on sound therapy. I mean, the list just goes on, and you'll find little bits and pieces along the way that might assist you, that might ring true for you, and we ask you to at least consider the possibilities. I mean, it just seems to me that it's one of the things that we're told, Jagdish, we're always told to go out and broaden our horizons. Matter of fact, one of the aspects of our conversation that I thought was so frustrating for me as I was growing up in this industry back in my days in the 80s was, you know, go out and, you know, and learn all you can. However, when it comes to spirituality, there's only one way. And I thought, well, I can choose any kind of foods I want to eat and drinks I want to drink and people I want to associate with and education anywhere I want. And I can become anything I want through that education. I can live anywhere I want in the world. I can have any relationships that I want in the world. But when it comes to my spirituality, there's only one. And I'm thinking, well, that doesn't fit. It doesn't work. How about you? How have you grown? Where did you start from spiritually, and how have you progressed? What's been that path for you?
Well, my cultural background, the childhood background. I was raised in a family with the influence of Hindu philosophy. But it's funny that you mentioned about this. The spirituality, and there's only one path.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I did not have that experience in my life, because Hinduism is a philosophy. It's not a religion. It's not an organized religion. Absolutely mm-hmm. not. And so one can be, one doesn't need to believe in God, and can still be a Hindu, in that sense. And he doesn't. It's really the one who looks at the life and goes through the experiences to understand what's this all about, and that's what that philosophy is, and that's what I've been following in that sense, that discovering myself. You know, who am I, and what am I doing, and in the process, I learn a lot, and. I learned a lot of other stuff, outer stuff, but at the same time, they take me back inward, they helped me. And astrology is one area where I really learned about myself. Who am I? And as you point out, Richard, it's totally open. It's spirituality is something about if I use those heavy words like love and compassion mm-hmm. and connecting people, that's all about. It's just that we connect to me. There are two things in life. One is about the process, and other one is about the connectivity. The process is you can master, be a skillful expert in a given a process. But while doing so, if there is no connection to human being, that to me that process has no really relevancy in life. So if you can give up a little bit and relax the perfection or precision of the process and connect to the human, and then see if you can get the if you can connect the human with love, compassion, whatever you want to call it, and then you can switch back to process. Process is the secondary things. I'm sure you want, you know, the best life and, you know, the all, you know, all the luxuries of life and everything. But if you don't connect, that has no meaning. When mm-hmm. you connect and then you think about these things that you would like to have, that's more important to me.
I have to think that you know, what's the point of the process if you don't have others to connect with to share your experiences of your process?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then the other aspect is as far as those who become frustrated over the process and want it to go this way and then this way and this way, I say become part of the process. Stop trying to control the process, because you can't anyway. It's an illusion.
Yeah, exactly.
So become part of the process, and you will flow much more easily with it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's what I call aligning with the nature.
Yeah.
And that's only happens if you give up your ego, put your chips down. You know, that's on your shoulder.
Right.
And be open-minded and understand. Okay, what it is, and let it happen rather than start manipulating.
I've been taking a look at what you've just stated in light of our present state of affairs, both nationally and internationally. And I take a look at the place in which I live and the natural surroundings and all of the various animals that are there. And I don't see any of the animals that I come in contact with doing any of the things that we're doing as a species. And it brings to mind that if we would get back to, because you use the term natural state, and I'm now taking it to the next level of nature and saying that the ways in which we're living are in total contradiction to the natural, I will use the term, order of things, in terms of becoming part of the process, becoming part of the flow, that we're constantly trying to control everything on all levels, on all levels. And so these various systems that have been created that claim to give us all of this freedom, that it's the greatest system in the world, whatever you want to call it, because we have freedom and liberty and justice for all. But look around. We don't see that that's happening. Yeah. And it's because we've gotten away from, and this is more of a, I've made a statement, but I put a question mark at the end of it, that this is, that if we went back to this other way, things would be so much smoother. That's not to say that we wouldn't still have challenges in our lives, and that all the problems of the world would be solved. We as individuals would relax and flow through, and maybe some of this stuff would settle down a little bit. What is your thought?
I agree the natural part that you pointing to, if we go allow. And for example, living healthy, doing the exercise, those are the right thing. Those are proven things. You know, those are timeless stuff. I fully agree with you. That doesn't mean that the thing that we are doing, because we have a curiosity and we use our mind to discover so many things. That's why we have computers. We fly planes, and we send the satellites, in space.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is all fine, except that we do not use those. In other words, while researching that area or while evolving along those lines, when we become corrupt in the sense that we try manipulating things, controlling things, in other words, doing the things which are really not the part of the nature.
Yeah.
And where we try to interfere the nature, mm-hmm, in the sense, mm-hmm, that, hey, I know more, or this is how it's going to be,
right,
done. That's where the things start falling apart in any given systems, in any, society, if you will. It's going to fall apart the moment you start not aligning with the nature. Nothing wrong with discovering new things.
Sure.
Absolutely nothing. Because that's part of the nature. Because, mm-hmm, it's all part of the nature.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with trying new things. But understanding that while trying, we don't get off track due to our ego, whatever you want to call it, due to manipulating things, controlling things, being possessive of it. Because it's everybody's.
Yeah. I've thought of that process for quite a long time, because as I have stated on this program and to many people that I talk with about being on this program, one of the objectives of Tell Me Your Story is to find those new ways of living, because the ways in which we are living today aren't working. And some would argue, say, well, what do you mean they're not working? I said, well, then look around you.
Absolutely.
You tell me. If you can tell me that they're working, then you're looking through a different set of glasses than I am. So we're trying to find those ways that will work not just for a few, yeah, but for all.
Oh.
Now, some would argue, oh, well, that's socialism. No, we're not talking socialism here. We're talking about new ways of living, mm-hmm, that not only will sustain our, mm-hmm, lives, but the life of the place in which we live.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that part. That you're trying to, you just elaborated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not socialism if we try to create the things which are better for everybody. But in doing so, if we become obsessive about that process itself, then we have problems.
Yeah.
We will run into problems.
Yeah.
We will not going to go where we want to go. So, in my opinion, it's what we can do best is provide that information to everybody.
Yes,
that's
it. Yes.
Let them choose what they, mm-hmm, want to do. At, mm-hmm, least they know the consequences. And if we suppose if whatever the information we provide and whatever the suggestions we make, if we are wrong in that, and if they figure out, okay, better way, well, mm-hmm, that would be additional information. And so we evolve with that.
Yeah.
And but you're right. It's not socialism. And there's nothing wrong in doing the things collectively that that helps everybody.
Yeah.
So long you do not become the corrupt.
Right,
while you're in the process.
I mean, I've even seen stories of entire families that have basically said, I've had enough, and we are going to pick up and we're going to move to a new place. And in some instances, it's a new country, totally new environment, and we're going to put down stakes, mm-hmm, and we're going to make our life there, wherever that is. Yeah. Maybe it's on an island, yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to do, because they want to maybe it's just experience something new.
Sure.
Or say, look, I'm just too frustrated with this system. I need to try something else. Now, you and I would also acknowledge that there's a lot of that yeah, we carry inside, yeah, of us. So just by moving from one place, yeah, to another, you really haven't resolved anything,
right,
within yourself.
Right.
You kind of have to take care of the,
right,
inner work,
right,
as
exactly,
well.
Exactly.
How does your spirituality, your intuition, if you will, does it play any role in the work that you do as far as the astrology?
Absolutely. I think that's kind of a prerequisite.
Okay.
Indirectly, you're right. Absolutely. Even I didn't know that until I realized, well, it's the origin of what I'm doing is there, that discipline that I had. For example, the discipline that I had, which helped me starting the research in chemical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
You have to follow certain discipline. And in other words, it's like ruling out the, you know, looking at the things, what's right and what's wrong. And in my opinion, we don't know the right things. But if we see something wrong, you just rule that out and then move on. And then this is wrong. And then we eventually will be left with the things which ought to be right mm-hmm. because we don't see anything wrong with it. And so that's the process I use. Mm-hmm. And if you want to call it spirituality, so be it.
Sure. Astro Insight is your website, astroinsight.com. People can not only find out more about you, also about your book, It's All in Timing, It's All in Timing, which is, it's actually an instructional book on Vedic astrology.
Absolutely. It's instructional books. It's all, in other words, if you want to learn Vedic astrology and you don't know anything about astrology, this book may prove to be a starting point for you. Sure, there's a lot of material, you know, and there's a lot of references that you may want to check out as you go through this process of learning astrology. But towards the end, it leads to you the method that I discovered and got excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to explain that method, I had to explain what is this astrology about and it's kind of bring you up to the speed.
Right.
And so that's the reason I wrote this book. And
now, what about the journals? They're out. They're available here in, you know, in 2011 or 2012.
Yes, they will be available. They will be going out. If you really want to get a copy of that, you can always go to Google NCGR, and that will lead you to the NCGR website, which is geocosmic.org. You can get a hold of that copy. And the next year, in May, third week of May, I don't remember exact date, 25th through the end of May, there is going to be a conference in New Orleans. It's a United Astrology Conference, UAC. You can Google that, and there's a ton of material. There are about 200 speakers coming all over the world. There will be, I would be speaking at that conference. I guess I will be speaking on the Eastern predictions and Western depth. That's the topic I have. And I'm very excited about it. And there are several tracks, and there are about 200 speakers. It's a 7-day long conference. And I hope I get to see you there.
Well, we'll see what transpires over the coming days and weeks. As we are sitting here talking with Jagdish Maheshwari, and he is the author of It's All in Timing, as well as the website astroinsight.com. And we thank you so much for coming in. I have just a couple of other questions for you that I did not ask you the last time you were on the program. And again, I'll give you a brief moment to think about your answer. The question basically is, who is Jagdish Maheshwari?
Good question. I wish I knew that. I'm still trying to figure this one out.
Okay.
Jagdish Maheshwari is just the name of this body. But the real person behind this is, I don't know, who's that person? Sometimes I think that and there is an observer who observing me. Some people call it's a pure consciousness or pure awareness. And in that observer looks at you. Whatever it is, it's definitely, and this body is just a label, Jagdish Maheshwari. I don't know who am I, and it really doesn't matter if I knew it this lifetime or not, but I always wonder and try to figure more about myself day and every day. Day in and day out. so to speak. And it's a wonderful journey. Life is always a wonderful journey. Every minute allows me to know a little bit more about myself as I move through this, move through this path.
And what do you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing? I know you've alluded to it throughout the program, but codified down.
I don't really have any achievement. I wish I can name that achievement. Only thing I want to do is I want to enjoy this journey as honest and as open-minded as possible. And while doing so, whatever I see, I want to share that with the world. Some people call that achievement, so mm-hmm. be it. That's fine. But that's what I want to do. I want to enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I don't feel stressed. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
And if you are open-minded and if you are honest to the process, I think anyone can do it.
I want to thank you again for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me, Richard.
Jagdish Maheshwari is my guest. And again, the book is entitled It's All in Timing. And you're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday, love Talal.